DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Maciej Ziaba, who was a close associate of Pope John Paul II and is one of the foremost interpreters of his thought, a topic Father Ziaba covered in his book, The Surprising Pope. Trained as a physicist, Father Ziaba became active in the Polish Solidarity Movement in 1980 and edited an underground newspaper. Ordained a priest in 1987, he later served as a provincial superior of the Dominicans of Poland. Father Ziaba, who earned his doctorate from the Pontifical University of John Paul II in Krakow, has lectured extensively on economics, theology, and philosophy. With Father Maciej Ziaba, we go inside the pages of Papal Economics, the Catholic Church on Democratic Capitalism, from Rerum Novarum to Caritas in Veritate, published by ISI Books. The Catholic Church has long been one of the most important, but least understood, authorities on capitalism and democracy. For well over a century, popes have offered profound reflections on the economic and political order in their social encyclicals. From Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum to Pius XI's Quadrisimos Annos, written during the Great Depression, to John Paul II's Centissimos Annos, and on to Benedict XVI's Caritas in Veritate. But this intellectual tradition has often been misunderstood, with partisan groups variously proclaiming Catholic social teaching to be left-wing or right-wing, pro-socialist or pro-capitalist, or even pro-third way. Papal Economics corrects the record. Father Maciej Ziaba takes readers on an enlightening tour through the Catholic Church's social teaching on capitalism and socialism, wealth and poverty, democracy, authoritarianism, and more. His incisive analysis shows that the Church displays a profound understanding of democracy and, perhaps more surprising, strong support for free markets. As Father Ziaba demonstrates, popes have explicitly rejected socialism while praising a democratic state and market economy. Of course, the praise is not unqualified. Papal Economics shows how the Church, especially through John Paul's teachings, distinguishes true democracy from false, and praiseworthy capitalism from the kind to be rejected. Moving beyond the narrow confines of secular discourse, Catholic social teaching highlights the dangers that arise when the market and the state are elevated to absolutes in themselves, when man's spiritual dimensions are subordinated to his material ones. Ultimately, anyone who cares about free markets and democracy must understand and defend the foundations on which they are built. For as John Paul suggested, in a world without truth, freedom loses its meaning, the market loses its efficiency, and democracy yields to statism. With the world still struggling to recover from economic crisis and deeply divided over the proper path forward, this book's efforts to set the record straight on the Church's economic teaching and expand the terms of the debate could not be more timely. We now begin our discussion with Father Maciej Ziaba. Father, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Papal Economics, the Catholic Church on Democratic Capitalism, from Rerum Novarum to Caritas in Veritate. Extraordinary book. Thank you so much for compiling it for us.
Well, it's a pleasure to hear you and to hear our listeners. It is a result of my decision to read social encyclicals of the popes after collapse of communism, you see, and we were in Eastern Europe completely unprepared for democracy, for new political order, for new economic system. So I read the popes, and it was very instructive, very, very very good, very fruitful for us. And then I wrote the book about this.
Well, it's absolutely wonderful because you bring together the sheer richness of the teachings of the popes, who really did have an important insight on our economic life.
Yeah, especially Centesimus Annus, it's 100th anniversary of Rerum Novarum. It was a great encyclical which showed how to fulfill Christian vocation, joining the free market economy and democratic system, which are a product of Christian culture. Obviously, there are some weaknesses, there are some troubles, there are some problems, and limits of free market economy and also democratic policy. But it's founded in Christian culture and Christian anthropology, which is the most important. And it's what I discovered and I promoted in my country and also in the Eastern European countries after 1989.
Could you talk to us, Father, about the definition of what is truly authentic democratic capitalism?
Yeah, that's right. It's an important question because it needs moral fundaments. It needs moral virtues. So it has to be the base is Christianity. It means dignity of every person. He or her dignity. And then principles of subsidiarity, common good, and obviously solidarity. You have to think, we have to think, what are our neighbors and who are the weakest neighbors always. So subsidiarity, solidarity, and common good. It's a base for free market democracy, free market exchange, free market economy, and democratic policy.
Some would say that the church has really no input or should not have input in matters of economics, but yet, as you've helped us to see in the book, Papal Economics, it really does affect the whole activity of the human person.
Yeah, yeah. It's the most important is culture. It doesn't work that it's only economic system, only political system. It doesn't work alone. We have a culture. Culture, which the core of the culture is anthropology, vision of the human being. What does it mean? And Christian culture put effect, great achievement of Christian culture is that men and women are the persons. So it means that they have, inevitably, they have dignity, and then they are rational, also with free will, and open for relation, deep relation with the others. And this personalism, this vision of human nature as a person, it's a great achievement of Christianity, and it's a base for free market economy and democratic policy.
You come from a really unique perspective, having lived through a tumultuous era in the life of Poland. And many of us in the United States may not appreciate the gift of having a free market, essentially. But there's also dangers,
yes, exactly.
Isn't there? Yeah,
that's right. You don't appreciate how huge achievement is it, how very personal achievement is it that we perceived one another as a free persons. Yeah, it's what was the case of socialism, that we were perceived by the system as a part of the network, as a molecule of the bigger system. We were the part of party, of society, and so on. So we were not free creatures, no free human beings. And so I understand now how important it is, what is obvious for the guys in the U.S.
And you mentioned the great, great encyclical Centesimus Annus, but it has its roots in the teachings of Pope Leo XIII, who in his time, help us to understand Rerum Novarum.
I guess it's fantastic. It's, obviously, it's old-fashioned in some words, but how important it is now and how we can, one reread this encyclical. And Sanctorum Novarum is still, I call it a cornerstone of Catholic social thought. And then Centralimus Annus is a flagship of cornerstone. They are very fresh, and this vision of society and institutions, democratic institutions in Rerum Novarum is still valid. It's still important. I appreciate what the Pope said even over a century ago, and it's still important for us.
There is so important, too, to remember that while it lifts up the rights of workers, it also lifts
yes.
up the proper rights of the business owner or the employer.
Yes. Yeah, you are very right. Yeah, yeah. It was very new in that time that she, that Leo XIII remembered about the rights of the workers at the moment, and trade unions, obviously, and the common good, and solidarity and subsidiarity. And his vision, it was the end of the 19th century, is still valid, is still important for us.
What I love about your work in papal economics is that from that point, Leo XIII, you show us through the different encyclicals of Benedict XV, for example, and the others who were addressing the rise of big government, of socialism, and the dangers that were intrinsic to the human person,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. It's a danger we perceived in our part of Europe. That strong government means censorship, means bureaucracy, it means a very inefficient system. And we experienced it in many years after the Second World War. So I guess the topic of the book is that as much subjectivity of society as it possible, subjectivity of society, and government is an administration. We don't need it to control us. Strong government is dangerous. We experience in our part of Europe in 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Again, it's so rooted in those core principles of solidarity, but also subsidiarity. The two are like sisters. They walk
exactly.
hand in hand, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's important. Subsidiarity, it means that local mediating structures, it means families, it means societies of neighbors and so on, that are very, very important. They are the most important for living democracy. And then we have a structure of administration and so on. And solidarity, it means the question, who are your neighbor? Who are your weak neighbor? Who need your aid? It's a very Christian question, and we have to be open to doing something good, together. And solidarity, the movement of solidarity in Poland, it was a fantastic discovery for all of us, that we can do something together, something good. And for many, many men and women, I asked after many years now, right wing, left wing, believers, non-believers, Orthodox, Catholic, Jews, and so on, they all say it was the most beautiful period in our life because we did something good together. Fantastic experience.
Father, do we fall into a danger when we are in a time of prosperity that somehow we
yes.
neglect
yeah.
the gift?
It's also, yeah. Yeah, it's also described by the Pope, John Paul II, in St. Louis, this consumerism. It's mm-hmm. obvious, but it's not a temptation only for capitalist society, mm-hmm. also in socialism. When one would like to think mainly about how to achieve more money, how to earn more, how we can stand and so on. It's a representation for all Christians, all the times. But now, in our societies, when we have many possibilities to fulfill these expectations, obviously it's a huge danger. And the answer is living Christian culture, that we have to think about our Christian vocation, how we can fulfill it, and how we can do more good for more people, how we can improve our society, how we can help for the poor, and so option for the poor is so important, as Pope Francis said. It's always a temptation for Christians, but I hope we have moral values and evangelical values to say no. Our life is more important. Our life is more beauty than just to have more money.
There is a importance for us to remember that the human person, the dignity of each human person, and the teaching, that has to be foundational, doesn't it?
Yes. Dignity of every human creature, every human being, is what I learned from JP2 when I met him, John Paul II, many times. He was always very open for every meeting, for every person. And he was always late because of this. But it was fantastic that every meeting with every person is so important. It's not accidental, it's providential. And because of the dignity of every human person, every human being, and it's a great lesson we learned from him.
There are those who would say, because each person is so important, that the state needs to come in and guarantee their rights and provide so that there are no poor. Yeah. And yet that really indicates a lack of trust in the individuals to be able to care for those around them.
I guess it's a Christian value to trust to one another. Obviously, trust and verify, as Ronald Reagan said. But trust is very important, that we believe that we are open for the others and we have to do something good together. And it's possible. It's a real possibility that we can do good together. And it's changing our lives. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. It's what I experienced in Solidarity in Poland.
As you're looking out over the broader picture now around the world, the global economy has never been so integrated as it is today. Is democratic capitalism a possibility that can actually be lived out?
It's a matter of culture. If it's only a system of achieving more and more money, pure efficiency and so on, obviously, but it will not work in the future. It's for a short term, it could be effective, but for a longer term, it doesn't work. And so it's a crucial question about Western culture at the moment. Do they have this cultural value, transcendent values, Christian values, or we just think about efficiency, and it will be unexpected in a longer term in globalization also. So it's a crucial question for capitalism at the moment. Could we redefine the moral values, Christian values, or should we think only about efficiency? And if you think only about efficiency, we lose it.
There is the importance of human freedom. That is another core principle.
Yes.
But the freedom to do good, not necessarily the freedom to do anything.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's a fantastic discovery to do good together. It's the most important experience in my life. That we were so happy doing good together. It's not freedom just to do something, but to do good together. Over our divisions and our political ideals and so on, we did good together, and it's fantastic. It's a great experience, great happiness, I guess, fulfillment of our lives, vocation.
Father Ziaba, would you say that it also is important that conversion happens as opposed to being compelled. That for the Christian culture, and in particular, even in this area of economics, that there will be a conversion of heart in how we treat one another, not so much compelling people to do things.
Yes, you are very right. It's what we need always. It means conversion of our hearts, and that even when we discover something good, it's still we have to search for truths, for new discoveries, and so on. And so I guess it is the most difficult in Christian vocation, this permanent conversion. I'm not very young at the moment, and I still have to convert. And it's difficult, but it's fantastic also. It's that still, in the God's eyes, we are still young. We have to convert. We have to change our views. We have to improve what we have done, good, and so on. So it's very creative vocation, Christian vocation.
The beauty that's contained in Santissimus Annus is also in imploring that there be a respect, not just for the human person, but as we touched upon earlier, that the respect for the individual cultures, that so there isn't a universal implementation of something, but something that springs organically from within the heart of that culture.
Precisely. It's what we can give to contemporary culture, it is personalism. It is that every individual human being is in the center, not efficiency, not economic order, not political order, but personalism, anthropocentrism, is that every human creature has a unlimited dignity. And it's a core of Christian culture, what we can offer to the contemporary world, yes. That every human being has this unlimited human dignity. Unborn and born and older and weaker, left, right, or right wing guys and so on, it doesn't matter. Every human being has an unlimited human dignity. And it's a core of the culture. It's the most important what we can say to the world now.
We will probably be studying and unpacking the teachings of John Paul the Great for many decades, if not centuries, to come. What would you say, Father, now on the eve of the canonization of John Paul, what would you have people with Santissimus Annus really take to heart?
I guess that's... we have to read Santissimus Annus. Also read another paper, the documents. George Weigel's Witness to Hope, it's a great biography, showing the meaning of this pontificate also. So, and then try to promote it. It means to, in our concrete life, theology of the body. Great story, great, about human's life, men and women's life, is also a discovery of this Pope. So there are many documents we ought to read and to try to discuss about this and try to employ it in our lives. Canonization next half a year will be a great moment for us, for all of us.
For your homeland, for Poland, what would you say now, having been a part of the great challenge, the great struggle, and the great, well, ultimately the victory of that Solidarity movement, where do you see it today?
At the moment, we are in a very normal situation. It means temptations of consumerism. Our GNP doubled in the last 20 years, so it's much richer society, and for us as Christians, it's also temptation. Also, for younger generation, they didn't remember JP2. He died 8 years ago, and before he was a handicapped person. So for a younger generation of Poles, he doesn't exist. Maybe very formally, many statues, many streets, many schools named JP2, but for this young generation, it's not a living person. So it's a great challenge for us and a great chance, I guess, this canonization that we have to show as a John Paul II as a prophet, as a saint person, someone who is inspiring us in our life, in our social life also, also in our Christian life. And it's a challenge. I discovered that for me it's almost funny that younger generation doesn't know the Pope as a prophet, as a intellectual, as a Polish patriot also, and so on. So it's a challenge for us to show to the youngest people how great person, how holy person he was.
Father, we have the great wealth of his writings and his teachings from the decade and a half, or two decade and a, well, 25 years of his papacy.
Yes, exactly.
But keep adding on to that. But if the person that you came to know, the man you came to know, if you were to sit with him in a meeting today and have a conversation about the state of the world, what do you suppose? What do you, and I'm asking you to really stretch here, what do you suppose he would have to say to us in this present moment?
Yeah, I guess it was his message that every human person, he or she, men and women, are so deeply important, that you are very important, and your vocation, your life, your job, your family, and so on, it's so important. Let us rediscover the meaning of our vocation. It's not accidental that you are men and women, that you are American or Polish or Ukrainian and so on. It's not accidental. It's a vocation from God. And it's what we need to rediscover, meaning of our life.
Father Maciej Zabia, thank you so much for your time and for the work that you've done on papal economics.
Thanks a lot, and all the listeners.
With Father Maciej Zajaba, we've gone inside the pages of Papal Economics, the Catholic Church on Democratic Capitalism, from Rerum Novarum to Caritas in Veritate. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to isibooks.org, the website for its publisher, Intercollegiate Studies Institute, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.